10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Get myself clipped up here if I can. All right, I will read verses 3 to 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, look at verse number 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Father, I pray that our time now in the Scriptures would be a help and a blessing. And I pray it in Jesus' name, amen. Now, sometime after you got saved, You not only began to understand the Christian life was a life filled with blessings, not just salvation, but a life that was filled with blessings. And you also came to the realization that the Christian life is a life of conflict, a life of struggle, a life of battle. And you understood that it was a spiritual battle, not a physical battle. You recall that Israel, you know, God had promised to give them the land of Canaan, but they had to fight to possess it. And the Lord promises you and I many spiritual things, but you also have to realize you have to fight to obtain them. Now, in the passage that we just read here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we learn some things about the battle and this conflict that we are engaged in. Number one, here's what we want to talk about, the enemy. The enemy. And the first thing I want to say that we see in this context of the enemy is this enemy, that the enemy that's mentioned here, one of them, there's three particularly, but one of them is the flesh. The flesh. Look at verse number 3. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now, when you go over just one book in your Bible, the book of Galatians, and you look at Galatians chapter 5, here's a verse that you're familiar with, but it goes along with what we're talking about tonight. Verse number 17 of Galatians chapter 5 says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that we, or ye, cannot do the things that you would. All right, and so there's the battle that takes place within. All right, the Spirit of God that indwells us is in conflict with our flesh. And you have these two powers warring in regard to which one is going to control the Christian, your flesh or the Holy Spirit of God. Now, which one that is going to control you is determined by you or I. See, the flesh can control you. The Spirit of God can control you. But which one is going to be in control is going to be by your determination, which one you allow to control you. You go in your Bible to the book of Romans and you find Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And look at what the Bible says here in verse number 13. Romans chapter 6, verse number 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. But you'll notice there, twice in the verse, you see that word yield. All right, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. Go down to verse number 16 in this chapter. Notice what it says. Know ye not that to whom you, there's that word again, yield yourselves servants to obey his servants, you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. All right, so you see, one of the wars or one of the this battle that's taking place within you or I is this conflict that's taking place between the Spirit of God and our flesh. And the one that is going to be victorious and have control of us is the one that we yield ourselves to. Now listen, that's what the Bible says, right? Right? To whom yourself you yield yourself, servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. So if that be the case, and that is the case, you have to realize this. I know people have struggles in regard to sin, but there's no way, no how that a Christian can have victory over sin. You see? You know when a person is going to have victory over sin? When they decide they're going to. I didn't say there's not going to be any struggle. I didn't say there's not weakness. I didn't say that, you know, there's not going to be, you know, some difficulty in regard to getting victory over it. But you're going to get victory over it when you want victory. You know, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. I gave you the illustration of the prodigal son. You know when the prodigal son, you know when he got home? When he decided, I'm going home. And he got up, and it was a long trek back, and I'm not telling you that trek was neat, was easy, and it was, I'm not telling you it was comfortable, and I didn't say that, you know, maybe he had a lot of trepidation in his mind, would my father receive me? I know, there's all that stuff that goes along, okay? But when he decided to get up, when he decided to go home, the citizen of that country, as we said, couldn't stop him. Okay, so this idea that, you know, you have to yield to the flesh, that's not true. That's not true. That you can't get victory over your flesh, that's not true. You're going to mean to tell me that you're the Spirit of God who dwells in you, the almighty, omnipotent God, is not stronger than my flesh? That's not true. All right? I understand that the flesh is powerful, but yielding oneself to God and walking in the Spirit, the Christian can have victory over the flesh. If you're back there in Galatians chapter 5, you'll notice what Paul says in verse number 16. We already talked about the conflict that takes place between the Spirit and the flesh, but look at verse number 16. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. All right, and so if someone's not getting victory over the flesh, what's the problem? The problem is twofold. Number one, they're not yielded to God. Number two, they're not doing those things which necessitate to be able to walk in the Spirit. You see, because if you walk in the Spirit, you'll have victory over the flesh.
Amen.
And so, I'm telling you, you know, there's a lack of reading the Bible. There's a lack of prayer. There's a lack of obedience. There's a lack of yieldedness. Yeah. You know, in regard to if you took these verses that we read, all right, and applied them, and you could get some people to live these verses in regard to, you know, you talk about these homes for men and homes for women and homes for troubled young people and everything else. If you could get that, if they could live these verses, just teach them to live right here what these verses say in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 36. Their lives could be transformed and they could overcome anything. Because it's all right here. It's all right here. All right, but one enemy that we're warring against is the flesh. All right, now here's another one. You see, and people can't get victory over the flesh is because really they don't get victory over the second enemy right here. And the second enemy we want to mention is the mind. Look at verse number 5 there, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at verse number 5. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. All right, so immediately you should have saw a couple words there that clicked for you in regard to what we're talking about, the enemy, the mind. All right, two words, one word being imaginations. That goes on up here in your head, right? And the other word is thought, bringing every thought. Now, you see, you understand this. I know that there is a battle that takes place that has to be fought outwardly. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. All right, so you all understand. There's an oppression out there. There's an enemy out there. There's a power out there that we are against outwardly. But the battle that we're talking about in these verses, all right, is a personal battle, an inward battle, and it's to be fought against the flesh and in our minds. Here's a verse of scripture. You're probably familiar with it. It's found in the book of Proverbs, chapter 23, verse number 7. The Bible says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So in regard to getting victory, not in this outward battle, but in this inward battle that takes place with our flesh, it all has to begin up here. You see, the flesh and the mind are connected. And if you're going to get victory, then you got to get victory over your flesh, and you have to get victory in your mind. Now, in regard to getting victory in our minds, let's look at these word imaginations. Think about that word for a moment. Go in your Bible to the book of Genesis, chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. You know, in Genesis chapter 6, we're reading about Noah. And look what the Bible says in verse number 5. Genesis 6, verse number 5. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that, notice what it says, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. But notice, imaginations, the imaginations of the thoughts, you see, your mind, it says, of his what? Heart. You see, this. Heart, mind, flesh. They're all connected. And then look down, if you would please, Genesis chapter 6. Look at verse number 11. The Bible says the earth was also corrupt before God. And notice what it says at the end of the verse. Second part of the verse. And the earth was filled with what? Violence. Remember when the Lord talked about his second coming, remember what he said? As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. So the conditions that prevailed, not just this one that we're talking about, there's some others, but one of the conditions that prevailed, all right, in the days of Noah, you see, the earth was what? Filled with violence. All right? Watch the news tonight. You know what they're going to tell you? They're going to tell you about all the violence that's taking place in our area, around the country, around the world. The earth is filled with what? Violence. When God destroyed humankind with a flood, and he started over again with Noah and his family, you see, if a people do not get regenerated, if a people do not get transformed, they're going to go back to what they were. And the world is going back to what it was. Wicked. Wicked. It's a wicked world out there. But the reason why it's wicked is because the Bible says, remember in verse number 5, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only what? Evil. Continually. So if you don't get a person saved, if you don't get a person transformed by living the Christian life, this is what you're going to end up with. Evil, wicked imaginations, and the result of all that is violence. All right? The Bible says back here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, what? Casting down imaginations. The idea here is like a fortress. You see, something wants to take over the fortress. You know who the fortress is? You and I. And so when the imaginations rise up to take control, you have to be able to do what? Cast them down. So you got imaginations, and then you have that word thought, bringing every thought into the captivity of Christ. All right, remember what the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 24, verse number 9, that the thought of foolishness is sin. Foolish thoughts. So the battle we're talking about right now here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 is not one that's outward in regard to the devil. It's not in regard to the principalities and powers that are at work in the world. The battle that we're talking about is taking place in me and taking place in you, and it's a battle against your flesh, and it's a battle that's going on in your mind. Now, if we're going to have victory in regard to this, here's what you need. First of all, number one, we're talking about the battle in the mind. First of all, number one, you need the blood of Christ to cleanse your mind. You need the blood of Christ to cleanse your mind. The verse of Scripture is, if you want to look at it with your eyes, is found in the book of Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 14. Remember what the scripture says here, Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. Now notice what it says. Purge. Purge. Your conscience. When you purge something, you clean it out. All right? Purge your conscience from what? Dead works. When I'm thinking foolish thoughts, that's dead works. Okay? And so I got to get rid of the foolish thoughts that are in here. The dead works, because if you don't get rid of the foolish thoughts, you're going to act on them. Yeah. Come on now. Sow a thought, reap an action. Oh, yeah. You see, so that's why people, you understand this. If you're dealing with people that have some type of addiction, physical addiction, about a week, folks, is all it takes. You can get over any physical addiction in about 1 week's time. Alcohol, you can get over a heroin addiction in about a week's time. But the battle for the addict after that is not the flesh. The battle after that is the mind. They don't get victory in their mind, therefore they yield to the thoughts of their mind and they go back to the sins of the flesh. That's how it works. So you have to be able to use the blood of Christ to purge your mind. Hey, listen, you got to plead the blood of Christ. When you have a wicked, foolish, ungodly thought, you have to ask God to forgive you and cleanse your mind, purge your mind of that wicked thought. That's how it works. You say, well, if I did that, I'd have to do it 10,000 times a day. All right? Well, you know what? If you do it 10,000 times a day, you'll find out that after a while, you know what? You're only going to have to do it 9,999 times a day. And then after that, you'll find out you're only going to have to do it 9,998 times a day. And I'm telling you, it's going to decrease and decrease and decrease. All right, so you need the blood of Christ, first of all, to cleanse your mind. Then you need the Word of God to strengthen your mind in what is truth and what is right. You need your mind strengthened in regard to what is truth and what is right. Remember when we studied the book of Ephesians, if you go back to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. In verse number 14, notice what the Bible says. Remember what it says. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. All right, remember we talked about this. In regard to the armament that the Christian soldier is to wear, the first thing that it talks about is your loins girded. Your loins girded, right in here. This is where the strength of your body is. All right, so your strength, your loins are to be girded about with what? Truth. Remember what Jesus said in John 17, verse number 17. He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. All right, so I'm to be strengthened with truth. And the only place you're going to find truth is in that book, the Bible. Here's another verse you can look at, 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, verse number 13. The Bible says, wherefore, gird up the loins. There's that gird word again. Gird up the loins. There's that loins word again. But notice, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. When you're sober, that means you can think clearly and hope unto the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. All right, so if I'm going to get victory in this battle in regard to my mind, I need the blood of Christ, first of all, to cleanse it. All right, you're going to fix up a room in your house. What's the first thing that maybe you're going to do? Clean it up, right? You got to clean it first, and then you can start with the fix-up. But first you got to clean it up, and then you need the Word of God after you've cleansed your mind to strengthen your mind in regard to what's true and what is right. You got to get in the book. All right? You got to read the Bible. You got to memorize the Bible. The more truth you get into you, the cleaner you'll be, the stronger you'll be. And not only to understand what's true, to strengthen your mind, to transform your mind, to transform it. You know the verses, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove it as that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the mind needs to be strengthened by the Word of God, by the truth of God, and it needs to be transformed. Amen. As I read the Bible, you know what? You know what this book contains? It contains the mind of God. When I read this book, I find out what God thinks. And when I find out what God thinks, then I can think like God thinks. Amen. Because you know what? In regard to how this world thinks, the world is screwed up. Screwed up. But when I read the Bible, it straightens my mind out. Amen. Amen. If you don't get it straightened out by the Word of God, then you'll fall for all kinds of nonsense. And that's what the devil's out there promoting, nonsense and wickedness. All right, so you need the Word of God, first of all, to cleanse your mind. You need the Word of God to strengthen your mind, to transform your mind. All right, here's the third thing that you need. All right, you need, I should say this. You need the Word of God or the Holy Spirit to control your mind. Got to clean it, strengthen it, transform it, but then I need to have a controller up there. That's the Holy Spirit. Go in your Bible, if you would please, to the book of Romans and find Romans chapter 8. Let's start in Romans chapter 8. Look at verse number 5. It says, "For they that are after the flesh," look what it says. What? Do what? Mind. See that? The things of the flesh. You see the mind and the flesh. They're on the same wavelength. All right? It says, "But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Now, all right? There's a couple of words that are missing right there, but the thought is still found in what the scripture says here. If you're after the flesh, you mind the things of the flesh. If you're after the Spirit, you mind the things of the Spirit. If I'm walking in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. All right? Then I have to have the what? Mind of the Spirit. And if I have the mind of the Spirit, as soon as a thought that's foolish and a thought that's wicked makes entrance into this, the Spirit of God is going to tell me, nope, that ain't right. Amen. Got to get rid of that. You understand? Look at the next verse there in Romans chapter 8, verse 6. Look what it says, "For to be what? Carnally minded." All right, what's the word carnal mean? Flesh. Fleshly minded. You see, the flesh and the mind, they're connected. That's what I'm saying. You see, even like we go, getting back to this like addiction thing, the flesh desires something, it works in the mind. The mind desires something, it works in the flesh. To be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal, there's that word again, mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are after the flesh cannot please God. Verse 9, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his." You understand this, if you're saved, you are indwelt by the Spirit of God. Okay, and if you're saved, you're not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit. If you're in the Spirit, then you know what you can do? You can please God. You know what a lost man can't do? He can't please God. That's why when you read the book of the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, it says, "The plowing of the wicked is sin." Plowing in and of itself is not sinful. You see, But when even a man who's lost does right things, who's he doing it for? Himself. So it's not right. He's putting himself ahead of God. So it's sin. So you need the blood of Christ to cleanse it. You need the Word of God to strengthen it, all right, and to show you what's true, and to transform it. And you need the Spirit of God to control your mind. And you know what? You just basically, here's another thing that you need, all right? You need prayer. You know what you need to pray about? You know why you need to pray in regard to your mind? You need prayer to calm your mind. Go in your Bible, if you would, please, to the book of Philippians and find Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, familiar verses. Verse 6, be careful. The word careful means filled with cares. Don't be filled with cares, all right? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Look at verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep, now look what it says, your what? Hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Through Christ Jesus, excuse me. Then, but don't stop there, because you're familiar with those verses, but notice verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, where am I going to find what's true? In the Bible. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, where am I going to find these things? In the Bible. Whatsoever things are pure, where am I going to find pure things? In the Bible. Whatsoever things are lovely, where are you going to find that? In the Bible. Whatsoever things have a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, what? Think. Think. On what? What are you supposed to think about? These things, the things that he just told you. The trick of the devil is to get us so preoccupied with living, not even doing bad stuff, doing stuff that needs to be done, but so caught up with and preoccupied with doing this other stuff that we don't have time and making time to do the things that we need to so that we can be victorious in this battle. You're never going to be victorious outwardly if you're not first victorious inwardly. If you can forget about it, you're never going to whoop on the devil, okay, or the principalities and powers and all those, you know, that spiritual wickedness in high places, unless you first of all get victory in the battle in regard to yourself. That's what has to happen. All right, so the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And the weapons are, or excuse me, not the weapons, the enemies are, number one, our flesh. The enemies are, number two, our minds, or this is where the battle's getting fought. All right, let me finish up. I'll give you the third one. We're not going to finish the message today. All right, the third thing, or this battle, is, you see it in verse number 5. Three words. Every high thing. Every high thing. All right, so what does it mean, every high thing? Just a few minutes and we'll be done. First of all, what I want you to realize is this. If it's a high thing, it could be one of these. It could be a person. A high thing can be a person power. You want to go there real quickly? Go in your Bible, the book of Isaiah, chapter 14. Isaiah, chapter 14. All right, remember what the Bible says? Just to put it back in your mind just so you're thinking while I'm reading some of these verses. All right, it says, I'm bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, or casting down imaginations and every high thing that what? Exalteth. Every high thing that exalteth. All right, Isaiah 14, 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, Lucifer, son of the morning? Talking about the devil here, right? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will what? Ascend into heaven. I will what? What? Exalt. Every high thing that what? Exalteth itself. Here's Lucifer, he's doing what? Exalting himself. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit in the mount of the congregation of the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Okay? There's a power. There's a person that was doing what? Exalting himself. Go in your Bible to the book of Isaiah 24. Isaiah chapter 24. Isaiah chapter 24, look at verse number 21. It says, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high and the kings of the earth upon the earth. Those high ones are spirits. I already gave you Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness. Spiritual wickedness, where? In high places. All right? So every high thing. A high thing can be a person, it can be a power in regard to the spirit realm. However, it can also be a person in the physical realm. In the physical realm. I'll give you an illustration if you want to get there and look at it. Exodus chapter 5. Remember when Moses was sent by the Lord to go down to the land of Egypt, deliver Israel out of Egyptian bondage? Verse number 1 and 2 of Exodus. Did I say Exodus? Exodus chapter 5, verse number 1. And afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh, verse number 2, said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Sound like a high one right there. Here's what you're supposed to do. Let Israel go. No. Sounds to me like he's exalting himself against the Lord. In fact, when you go to chapter 9 of the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 9, look at verses 16 and 17. Here's Moses speaking to Pharaoh, telling him what the Lord is going to do. And verse number 16 says, in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up. This is what the Lord's saying about Pharaoh. To shew in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. Now look at verse 17. As yet exaltest thou thyself. He's not a spirit. He's a person. But he's exalting himself. He says, exaltest thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go. So a high thing can be a spiritual power, spiritual spirit being. A high thing can be a person, like we just saw Pharaoh. Here's another illustration of what I'm talking about. If you go in your Bible to the book of Daniel, chapter 5. Daniel, chapter 5. Remember when Belshazzar was making that feast inside the walls of Babylon, and the hand came on the wall and wrote on the wall, and he couldn't interpret the language, and finally Daniel came and interpreted it for him. And Daniel was talking to Belshazzar about his grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar, and he says, tell him what had happened. In verse number 22, he says, and Thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. Verse 23, Daniel 5. But hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of the house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold and brass and iron, wood and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Sounds to me like he's a person who's exalting himself. Every high thing that exalteth itself could be a spirit power, could be a person, all right, or it could be you or I. One last place and we're almost done. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's start in verse number 17. Paul says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk." How you walk is means how you live. So this is how the Gentiles live. Look at the end of the verse. In the what? Vanity of their what? Mind. They live in the vanity, or they walk in the vanity of their mind. You know what the word vanity means? It means whatever it is, it comes to naught. When you read the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon keeps on saying vanity of vanity. He says all is vanity. So whatever the Gentiles do, they didn't have the word of God. They didn't know the mind of God. Whatever it is they gave themselves to do in regard to how they lived, you know what it was all going to come to? Nothing. Nothing. 70, 80, 90 years of life in this world, and what you did meant nothing. And then at the end of doing nothing, you're going to die and go to hell. Look at the problem, verse 18. Having the understanding, up, that's your mind, isn't it? Having the understanding darkened, they don't know anything because they don't have truth. Being alienated from the life of God through the, what? Ignorance that is in them. Because of the blindness of the what? Heart. Their understanding's darkened, that's their head, but their heart is blind. See, the heart, the mind, they're connected. They're connected. That's why I told you folks, okay, the best thing you can do for somebody is give them the Word of God. Now, I'm not going to finish it. I'll talk about it next week. But it's not just giving them the Word of God. You got to give them the Word of God the right way. Because a lot of times Christians give people the Word of God, but they don't do it the right way, in the right spirit. And therefore, what they are endeavoring to do doesn't accomplish anything. They think, oh, I'm giving them the Word of God, so, you know, okay, you know, you got to do it right. Let me read on, verse 19. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. See, when you don't think right, then you start doing wicked stuff. That's what lasciviousness means. To work all uncleanness with greediness. All right, but you have not so learned. See, where do you learn something? You learn it in your mind. All right. Philippians 2:5, let this mind, 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You've not learned, so learn Christ. Verse 21, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is. See, there's the truth. Where's the truth? In Jesus. That you put off concerning the former conversation, that's how you used to live, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Look at here, verse number 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So, any high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, whether it be spirit being, whether it be person in the physical realm, whether it be you in regard to your imaginations. A person says, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. And if they're a Christian, all right, you know how they're supposed to do it or what they're supposed to do? God, if you want me to, if you will it, I'll do this and I'll do this. Okay, but if you're not asking God for His perfect will, then what are you doing? This is what I'm going to do. I'm a what? I'm exalting myself. Right? This is what I want to do. This is how I want to do it. And you're supposed to do what? Cast down every high thing that exalteth itself. Throw it down. All right. That's the enemy. Next time we get together, we'll talk about the weapons.